Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up, five things you cannot do this Christmas at Walt Disney World. The Polynesian gets a facelift, and the Wonder gets two additional sailings. All that, and the team is going to discuss their feelings about the relaxed restrictions here in Florida and how that might affect your visit to Walt Disney World. From various locations around the internet, this is the Diz Unplugged. Hi, everybody. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host this week for the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 1097 for the week of September 29th, 2020. I'm so happy to have you all watching. So happy to have our team joining us for this episode and helping me in the conversation. I am joined by Kevin Close,
everyone,
Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Dude. All right. Welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for helping me out with this show. Pete's not here, obviously. He is not hosting. He has got another obligation today. He is fine. Please do not speculate as to what might be going on. Everything's okay.
He just found better people.
I think he might have. But we've got a bunch of stuff we want to do. We want to talk about some news stories we've got going on. We've got some housekeeping. And we've got a conversation we're going to at the end of the show. Could get a little dicey. Could get a little exciting. You never know. All right. Trying. I know. I'm really trying here. Denny has agreed to read the news for me. Thank you, Denny.
Hi.
I'm going to let you get away with our first news story.
Okay, excellent. So our very first news story is from Miss Jackie Gailey, and it is the five things that aren't happening for the holidays at Walt Disney World in 2020. As some of you may know, several of the beloved traditions that we've become accustomed to over the years will not be happening at Walt Disney World this holiday season. It's important to keep these things in mind as you're making your plans, and also to keep in mind that there will still be lots of merriment to be had. While we remained uncertain of a timeline on the return of any nighttime fireworks spectaculars, Disney has announced some special experiences for the season that are different from what we've seen in the past, which can add an element of fun for guests who have visited Walt Disney World many times during the holidays. If you've been checking out our recent videos over on the Diz Unplugged YouTube channel, you may have seen some of the character cavalcades that have been sporadically traveling down the parade route in the Magic Kingdom. The cavalcades currently have some of our favorite Disney characters all dressed up for Halloween, and the music is familiar with some of the tunes that we actually hear during the Mickey's Boo to You parade that takes place during the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which has been canceled for this year. For the 2020 holiday season, guests can look forward to festive flotillas at Disney's Animal Kingdom, holiday promenades at Epcot, and a merry motorcade or two at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Character cavalcades at Magic Kingdom will have a special holiday twist as well, with Christmas friends on festive floats in their holiday finest. Guests will be able to see the gingerbread men, elves, and reindeer, and the toy soldiers will join the Main Street Philharmonic, forgive me, as they march through the Magic Kingdom. Now, let's take a look at the top five things you need to know about spending Christmas time at Walt Disney World in 2020. Number one, no candlelight processional. In their efforts to temporarily discontinue any experiences and events that draw large crowds of guests together in one place, Disney has made the decision to cancel the beloved candlelight processional for 2020. Number two, no Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. In addition to the cancellation of Candlelight Processional, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, a special hard-ticketed event held in the Magic Kingdom, will not take place in 2020. Number three, no Castle Dream Lights. During the holidays, Cinderella Castle is typically draped with icicle lights that create the most magical sight as they glisten against the night sky. This year, the Castle Dream Lights will not make an appearance. In their place, special projection effects will transform the castle with a rotating series of designs, including a whimsical Christmas sweater and a regal red, green, and gold overlay. Number four, no Christmas tree trail at Disney Springs. For the past few years, guests visiting Disney Springs have been able to enjoy the Christmas tree trail with trees that have been decorated in with Disney imagery and characters inspired by movies such as Aladdin, The Lion King, also Walt Disney World theme parks, and more with a gentle snowfall. But for the 2020 holiday season, the theme trees will be dispersed throughout Disney Springs for guests to enjoy as they shop. And the final one, number five, no gingerbread displays at Disney resorts. Unfortunately, the traditional gingerbread house displays that we've all grown to love will not be displayed this year to avoid the gathering of crowds. I'm not sure about you guys, but the one I'll miss the most goes without saying. It's, of course, the gingerbread house in the lobby of Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Jackie says, so what is there to look forward to, you ask? There will be plenty of festive holiday decorations throughout all of Walt Disney World, including the iconic Christmas trees. The Epcot International Festival of the Holidays begins on November 27th, and if you head there with an open mind, you should be able to experience the holiday magic that's waiting there for you in a new way.
Apparently, Rhino was so upset that he put on his backpack.
I put my backpack on, and I am leaving.
He's ready to go.
It's Rhino San Diego.
I'll go get those Christmas experiences back.
That's right.
Let's talk about these one at a time. Let's.
This is a harness, Rhino.
Really?
So, where are you planning going?
So Eli doesn't lose them in the parks. Let's talk about these one at a time and talk about really where do they fall on the boy, this is terrible versus scale of what we might be missing at Disney. So Candlelight.
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts about Candlelight?
I can understand why they're taking it out. First of all, those people up on stage singing at each other.
Yeah.
And there's an audience. But to me, that's one of our Christmas traditions. Mm-hmm.
It is for me,
I see that as a loss.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead, Denny.
I'm right there with you, Kevin. I that's my very favorite. So out of the five on the list, no candlelight processional happening is the one that kind of touches the heartstrings a little bit more for me. The Christmas tree trail at Disney Springs, it's really okay.
It's
one's
just
not
a none to me.
Happening. I mean, it's nice, but man, it was jam packed in there last year. So I'm okay with it being dispersed and seeing a tree here or a tree there.
I don't understand why they're not putting the lights on due to the pandemic on the castle.
Yeah, that seems a little strange. I don't know what having the lights on versus having this show on the castle would do to crowds. I think people are going to...
Oh, maybe that's why they're not putting the lights on, so they can do the projection.
Well, they do a projection every year.
Well, even with the lights. That's where I was thinking with it is, you know, to light up the tree, you have Anna and Elsa, and the Frozen characters come out and do their special performance to take over Cinderella Castle and put on the lights. And so I wonder if it's one of those decisions they're making to say, well, you know, we're not going to do the stage show because we still don't want crowding. So instead of just turning on the lights magically and just letting it be that, we really like the show aspect of it and the story that goes with it. So instead of doing that, let's just have the projections come on randomly. And I mean, it also, it saves them time and money not having to put up the lights. So
we wouldn't want you to just create magic unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that. I was going to say, I thought Disney just considered people like moths and they didn't want the lights on too long because they drift toward the light or something like.
Well, it does. It creates a crowd, right? Because at dusk, that's when Elsa comes out and does her magic and she lights the castle. And so if there's no big lighting of castles, then you don't have a big crowd waiting for that magical moment.
I can do without Elsa. That's okay.
Yes.
The good old days, they used to just throw Tinkerbell at the cat. It would light up. Why can't you do that? They used to throw her down that rope, and she would hit the castle like a bug on a windshield, and the castle would light up.
The bug zapper.
I also don't understand
the
canceling of the Christmas party.
You don't, or you do understand?
I don't. I don't understand why that's different than during the day. I understand that the parade and the fireworks are probably big parts of it, but they could have those, what were they called? But hoop-de-doos and cavalcades and stampedes.
But the party also has a lot of interesting. The party has a lot of interaction. You know, there's the candy trail, the trick-or-treating candy stuff, and there's the character interaction.
Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's Halloween.
Christmas,
but there's cookies.
The yeah.
Yeah.
We don't trick or treat Christmas.
Oh yeah, we don't trick or treat Christmas, do we?
Although we could.
You guys are old school. You're old school.
It's a long time since the house. I don't know what we do anymore. What society does. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You guys talk about it.
Yeah, I think with the Christmas party, I think it was along the same lines as Mickey's Not So Scary. You're trying not to have large groups of people congregating in any one certain place. And during a hard ticket event party, I mean, everybody is waiting for the fireworks, or they're waiting to watch this, or they are getting in line to get the really cool snowman pretzel at, you know, Tortuga Tavern. So whatever it is, they're just trying to keep people, I think, dispersed.
Yeah, and those snacks that they're giving away, I don't know that anybody's waiting in line for that cocoa and that dry cookie.
I like the snacks.
That's one of the main sells of the party, especially the Christmas party. I think it's also with the Christmas party in particular. Both parties, but with the Christmas party in particular, you know, they could have made an argument now with the restrictions and stuff that we're going to talk about towards the end of the show. So I'm not going to get into that as much, but it's, I feel like they could have probably made a stronger case for the Christmas party going off, but ultimately you still have to look at what the attendance is in general. And if the attendance for a party on a normal night is still less or still more than what they're currently letting into Magic Kingdom, then you have to really start getting into those details, and it's just a lot more complicated. So I'm okay with them skipping a year on this. I'm also okay with it with Candlelight Processional, because the one thing Disney has done a good job, I think last year or the year before, they did one of their live streams of the Candlelight Processional. And so there's a nice recorded version of it, even beyond like all the bloggers and vloggers out there who go and record it. So I can still relive Candlelight, even though it is different in person. At least it's still out there in a nice format to be able to live through it. But, taking a break, you know what? It's going to be okay.
Yeah,
it'll be back
like
next year.
Saying if you push really hard on your eyes with your thumbs, you can see the fireworks. It's not the...
Wow.
Please don't do that.
Do we have like a thing that says, you know, don't
we need
try this at home?
A disclaimer at the bottom.
So the last thing we didn't cover was the gingerbread houses. I can see why. You don't want people lining up for gingerbread. You don't want people crowding around those houses, taking pictures. What do you guys think?
I think part of it too is there's a lot of, like, when you start adding elements, like the gingerbread house becomes a snack station where you can, like you said, you can get drinks, you can get the different snacks and stuff like that. It opens up more areas with like masks off and a little bit like the being able to regulate it with cast members kind of starts going more and more out the window. And so I think there's like a lot of factors. And if this stuff is still like airborne, it kind of grosses me out now to be like, look at that cookie that's been out in this diseased lobby for, for 2 months, you know?
Yeah. And
I think is, sorry, good. Go ahead.
Okay. Some of the displays are a little smaller. So some are big, massive things that you can spread out around. But some of these guys are a little bit smaller. And so to, you know, scooch in and see all the detail, yeah, you're going to have people who are crowding. I personally mourn the loss of the Gingerbread House displays because I mourn the loss of the snacks that go along. There's a theme here in my life. I miss the snacks because they each have themed snacks that are unique to the resort. And I love eating them all. So I miss
them.
We're
going to get Denny's, Sister Kurt.
That's what Disney should do. They should do Instacart for their snacks and stuff.
I think a lot of this is financial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think not putting up those Christmas lights is a financial decision.
Yeah.
I don't understand. We talked about the Christmas party. I don't see why that would be any more crowded. And we could just limit the number of tickets. Again, I think that's a financial decision. Unless they can hit full, it's not worth running the lights and having the cast members there. I think most of this is downsizing. And, you know, we can wrap that up in Disney paper. But in my mind, that's what it is.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to our next news story.
All right, next news story. Disney shares concept art detailing changes coming to Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. With the non-DVC portion of Disney's Polynesian Village Resort not being scheduled to open until the summer of 2021, we anticipated some changes might be happening. Last week, Disney Imagineer Zach Ridley has shared an image that details a little bit of some of the changes, gives us a little bit of an idea of what guests can expect to see when the resort reopens. Disney Parks blog has said that the new Porte Cochere will showcase the iconic mid-20th century architecture that the Poly is famous for. Their team at Walt Disney World Imagineering and Walt Disney World have crafted a design inspired by colors, patterns, and textures found throughout the resort. This new entry features a high-pitched open truss roof covered in a thatch style. There's also a bold facade that features pops of color complementing the longhouses found throughout the resort. Along the monorail station, a bold new wooden screening system will be covered with geometric patterns in bright tropical colors that complete an exciting new composition that will greet you when you arrive. The open and airy design of the entryway will feature dramatic lighting elements, including beautiful chandeliers inspired by glass floats, fishing nets, and oversized bamboo elements. The new chandeliers will match the existing grand chandelier in the resort lobby, artfully bridging interior and exterior spaces. Additionally, Disney has said that enhancements will also be made to the lush gardens and fountains that have welcomed guests to the resort since opening day. During this refurbishment, all of the resort's guest rooms will be redone as well.
All right, so my first reaction to anytime Disney's going to change anything is no, don't change it. But looking at the concept art, I think it looks pretty cool. I think they look like they're on the right track to do something that still takes the current look and feel of the resort and make it a little bit more fresh and new. But my biggest problem is you don't see the front of that resort. Like when you go to that resort, you never see the facade or the front of it, even if you park all the way out. The furthest spot in the parking lot, there's that sort of berm that's up to the Porte Cochere. So I know that's going to be a big deal for me. Well, it's not like, oh, they're changing the contemporary, you know?
That's why I think this was needed, because I'm sure they're going to route it around a little bit better to make sure that you can see more of a grand entrance, because the Polynesian has always been one of those resorts for me that, like, it isn't special looking at it from the outside. It's just the monorail takes so much of your eye direction right towards that. So I'm not one of those people who's like, I need to photograph the outside of the Polynesian as much as possible. I'd rather get deep in the resort and like take pictures of the longhouses, and even the DVC entrance to their buildings is a lot prettier. So I think the Polynesian definitely needed this enhancement to the entrance and the first thing that you actually see when you're showing up to the resort to check in. And I just hope that they do find a way to maybe route how you go in so you get that grand reveal like you get at other resorts like Wilderness Lodge and the Contemporary and even Grand Floridian, like so many of the resorts. So hopefully it all works.
There's not a pull up to this resort, and I don't even think I could tell you what the outside looks like.
Brown.
It's brown.
Yeah.
Brown. It's brown. Very brown.
Danny, what do you think about this resort? Yeah,
I think for me personally, the gnashing of teeth occurred when the waterfall was removed from the lobby years ago. So I'm okay with them doing something to enhance the outside of the resort, to see the front of the Grand Ceremonial House kind of zhuzhed up. I'm excited about that. Like you guys have said, it's kind of hidden. And you see it. It's almost like the grand reveal happens on the monorail when you're floating past all of the longhouses and seeing kind of the iconic imagery on the ends of the longhouses. So it'll be nice to have, like you guys have said, that reveal as you pull up like you do at the other deluxe resorts. And, you know, you might as well tie it all in together with what the newer lobby looks like. So I'm okay.
It seems to me that they're going to have to remove a lot of foliage from in front of the Poly. Because even if you're driving by, you don't really see that front. It's kind of hidden behind the trees and shrubbery. It looks beautiful, and I love the idea of a mid-century update. The whole Poly is mid-century tiki. So I love that. It seems to me that it would have been smarter to me to take that sort of facade and have that be the entranceway to the driveway as opposed to on the front of the Poly, because I've been going there for a long time, and you kind of approach the entrance to the Poly from the side. So it's not like you're going to get that 1950s reference.
Rhino, what about you? What do you think?
I don't think I care. Because when that photo came out, I was like, that's what it looks like. I think I've glorified it in my mind or something like that. So I was like, yeah, this is a picture of the Polynesian. I don't understand what I'm looking at. I mean, like, clearly I'm with like what Kevin said about the foliage does always block that view, and you don't get that like clear, wow, look at the construction of this resort. Look at the beauty of the architecture and stuff like that, because you sneak in from the sideway. But it also makes it feel kind of elusive and secret, because you're kind of tucked away into the traffic. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm fine with it. I also am one of the people who does love the new lobby, and I get why people like the waterfall, but it's so much quieter in there without the waterfall. And I actually really like Maui. I like being greeted, and I like the idea that he's got this round little butt on the backside. It makes me laugh that there's just this statue with this big booty in the middle of the lobby at a Disney resort. It tickles me every time I go in there. Not the butt. It just makes me laugh.
All right. Well, as long as you're not tickling it, we're okay with that. So
I've been asked
talking about the hotel rooms, there's always this fear, right? The people who love a resort. And they don't want you to change it. So there's always this fear that when they change the room, that perhaps they might do something that will change the way the room looks. I will say this. I have been impressed with Disney's upgrades to most of their hotel rooms. So I'm not too worried about the Polynesian. What about you guys? You guys have concerns about Poly rooms?
I'm okay with it. They're saying, you know, it's Moana inspired. So ocean colors, you know, vibe, theme, that kind of thing. So I'm okay if it's done in a subtle fashion. And that kind of sounds like what they're going for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, John. I have enjoyed the renovations they've been doing throughout the different resorts. I thought the Pop Century ones were fantastic. And I don't mind the idea of having the synergy of having like Moana involved with it. It just kind of makes me wonder, like, are they going to redo the show too? Or are they going to keep Stitch? Cause it feels like Stitch is getting hit in the curb, even though Stitch lives in Hawaii. So I don't know. I'd like to see them meld all that stuff together with like what they have with Trader Sam's, Moana, you know, Lilo and Stitch, like bring all, and then bring in some outside stuff, you know, some authentic stuff and, I'm open to it. I'd be interested to see.
Craig?
I'm okay with this. I was a bigger fan of the last design of the Polynesian rooms more than I was of the ones that were redone in whatever that was, 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. Not that those rooms were bad. I feel like that was their first steps into trying to take a little bit of the theming out of the rooms. They didn't go fully crazy with it. The Polynesian rooms are still heavily themed, but a lot of lighter colors were being used, and they were starting to get more into that minimalistic approach versus how they were before, with bright reds being thrown around and such. So I think that continuing the trend of how they're redoing rooms will be good for the Polynesian, and if they can infuse a little bit of that Moana touch in there, the same way they did with Coronado with the three Caballeros in there, Destino in the Grand Destino Tower, then I'm all for whatever they're going to do for it. Because the last two times I've been in the Polynesian rooms, they've looked a little run down to me. So I think for a deluxe hotel, it's time that it gets that deluxe level, and hopefully Grand Floridian gets that at some point too. And heck, I'll even say Contemporary. The last Contemporary room I was in needed a little bit of TLC.
Yeah, everything needs a little refreshing. And I think what they're doing, for the most part, that's sort of changing out where the TV goes and the storage and the floors and all of that, I think they're doing a good job with that. It makes all the hotel rooms look a little bit bigger, in my opinion. All right, let's move on to our third and final news story.
All right. This is written by Mr. Tom Bell for DCLFan.com. New September 2021 Baja Mexico sailings added aboard the Disney Wonder. Likely due to maintenance that was able to be performed while the Disney Cruise Line ships have been under a no-sail order, the Disney Wonder has canceled what could have been a dry dock period in September 2021 and has now added 4 new sailings out of San Diego, California. In addition to the new cruises, the Wonder's repositioning cruise has been rescheduled, and the ship will now sail from Vancouver to San Diego on September 13th, immediately after its final Alaska cruise of the season. This 4-night California coast sailing includes a stop in Victoria, British Columbia, and the sailing had been originally scheduled for September 27th. When she arrives back in San Diego, the Wonder will embark on 2 weeks of alternating 2-night and 5-night sailings before beginning her previously scheduled itineraries. The new 2-night Baja cruises, which will visit Ensenada, will depart on September 17th and the 24th. The new 5-night Baja cruises, which stop in Ensenada and Cabo San Lucas, will depart on September 19th and the 26th. Of course, for more information on these new cruises or any of the other sailings aboard the beautiful Disney Wonder, you can contact the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel.
I guess I think that this bit of news might not excite a lot of people. It's not like some huge bit of news. It doesn't affect most people. But I'm going to say this. What makes me happy about hearing this is it feels like Disney Cruise Line is moving forward. Right? They're not just sort of sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Sounds like they're making plans.
That's exactly right. And that makes me happy. It makes me happy that they see light at the end of the tunnel and something's going to happen and cruises will go again. And whenever that happens, they're ready with what they're doing and preparing for it. So that's sort of the gist of why this story was included, was I thought, feels like a ray of hope a little bit. Like things aren't being taken away. Things are being added.
Yeah. And right about now, I think we'll take whatever they'll give us, like whatever little shiny silver ray of hope there happens to be, we'll take it. And I like that they're being creative with 2-night. They're kind of changing things up with 2-night Baja cruises and 5-night. So just toss them out there and see what'll stick.
Yeah. You guys have anything to add to that?
I'm going to have to go with Rhino's statement. I don't care.
Just don't care. I think a lot of people find this bit of news not something that directly influences them, because, you know, maybe that particular sailing doesn't excite you, or sailing out of the West Coast excites you. But again, keep in mind that Disney's doing stuff. All right, Denny, thank you very much for reading the news. I appreciate that. We're going to move on to some housekeeping. And I know everybody's got a little bit of housekeeping to do, but I'm going to do mine first because I can. The Swan and Dolphin Resort has extended their Sip, Savor, and Stay event with an additional night at the Food and Wine Classic on October 30th of 2020. This is really actually kind of good news. The Swan and Dolphin has almost reached capacity, I believe, on their first couple of nights. It's a very popular event. It's nice to see, again, a little bit of normalcy return to the Walt Disney World Resort, the Swan Dolphin being on track for this. I want to remind folks that you can book this through Dreams Unlimited Travel. You can book the entire package through us, and we will help you along the way. If you don't know how to do that, you can contact me, john@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and I'd be happy to get you to an agent. All right, Kevin, what's your housekeeping?
We had some friends in town this week, and unfortunately, we didn't get to see them because of circumstances. But our friend Hanukkah and her husband were here, and they brought a friend with them who has been a listener since this show started, and she lives in Denver. Her name is Melissa. And Melissa did not know that her friend Hanukkah and her husband Andrew actually knew John and I. So we found this out on the last day. So I just want to say to Melissa from Denver, I'm sorry we didn't get to meet you.
This was all just a ruse for Kevin to point out that we have friends.
Imaginary friends.
Yeah, we do have imaginary friends.
Imaginary friends named after holidays.
Yes.
No.
You should meet their friend Valentine's Day.
I was just going to say, wait until you see Labor Day.
That's right. And Arbor Day.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Denny, let's move on.
All right.
For housekeeping.
Okay. So for my housekeeping, I just wanted to mention that Magic Candle Company has a really cool page that they are featuring right now on their website called Fall Favorites. So if you really like fall and you really like theme park scents and smells, then combine the two together and you have magic. Okay. So they've also introduced their pumpkin spice latte candle, which combines the scent of espresso and whipped cream and cinnamon. And it just sounds really nice right about now. So if you're at all intrigued by any of these fall favorites or any of the other theme park and resort inspired candles that Magic Candle Company has on their website, head over to magiccandlecompany.com and save 15% by using the discount code DisneyInfo.
Do you guys miss fall? Miss fall
living in Florida. Yes. Desperately.
Yeah, it's my favorite season. It's not quite the same here.
I miss cider donuts.
That's a snack. Did just find out, though, there's a blueberry farm maybe about 15 minutes north of the Magic Kingdom called Southern Hills, and they convert to a pumpkin patch in the fall, and they are doing apple cider donuts there this year. I saw a friend on Instagram post about it. So you have to have reservations to go because of distancing and stuff right now, but I'm going to be making one immediately to go over and get a pumpkin and some apple cider donuts.
Ooh, I will do
for those in the north or for in the Albany area. I miss Folk Castle Farms. That's only going to be the people that understand it will understand it. They had the best cider donuts.
I think no matter where you live in the Northeast, everybody had their own farm that they went to in the autumn.
Butler's Orchard in Germantown, Maryland. That was mine.
Folk Castle Farms in Burnt Hills. Of you.
Yeah.
Sorry,
the farms in the autumn in the north. If you haven't been, you must. The crab apples and the fruit wines.
All right, Ryan, let's move on to your house.
Go ahead, Herbinger.
Herbinger. Mine is about the D23 Expo, and I was kind of surprised by this, but the D23 Expo, for those of you who don't know, happens every 2 years normally, has been delayed. It was expected to happen in 2021 because the last one was just this last summer in 2019, but they've now announced that it's going to be held in September 2022 at the Anaheim Convention Center, the weekend of September 9th through the 11th. and will give fans their first look at the plans for the Walt Disney Company's 100th anniversary. This is interesting to me, not just because of that, but because Star Wars Celebration was delayed until 2022 and is also happening in the Anaheim Convention Center. And those dates for that are August. I just had it and I just lost it. August 18th through the 21st. So it's like they're two or three weeks apart. And I know you can say a completely different crowd, but Disney owns Star Wars. So that's where it's like, I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know if I have to go to this, do I?
Yes, you do. I don't know.
Both? That
I don't know that this is a completely different crowd, Rhino. I think there's a lot of crossover between the two conventions.
I'm surprised they would have, because these are both big, you know, every other year conventions. I'm really shocked that they would have them so close together, because they're also not inexpensive conventions to go, because the 3-day weekend for Star Wars Celebration was like $200 or 4 days or something like that. But and D23, like, yeah, you could do the single day, but a single day, I think, was like $75 last time. So it's not just like it's not a $30 convention. I don't know.
It's almost like They either should have made them further apart or like put them back to back, because then you could have at least had people who had hotel rooms for a whole stay and didn't have to fly in and fly out. It feels like they kind of, it's a weird thing to have this couple of week gap between them.
I would have loved a back-to-back convention. That actually would have been a lot of fun. And well, I mean, it's tough because Rhino and I have been to the last couple D23 expos and we have tickets for Star Wars Celebration. So now this year it was a decision of if they have it, will we go because of COVID? And now it's, well, is it too close to D23 considering we know when we're going to be at D23 and have an exhausting weekend for that? So the questions continue to arise with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand why they would put everything off till 2022, but putting too much together seems a little risky on there.
It'll break the bank for a lot of people. You know, it's a thing. And like, you want to go, you want to have fun. And it's like what you said. Yeah, the back-to-back would have been amazing, because I would have been like, all right, well, let's take a long week, go to Disneyland during the week, have the two celebrations on either end, and then it would have been fine. But I don't know. Hindsight, 2020, am I right?
All right, so we're going to move on to Craig. Yep. I don't know what Craig's housekeeping is. He's kept it a secret.
I'm going to call this the housekeeping based on what the chat wants us to talk about. And the consensus by far was that they want our opinions on the Grand Floridian Society, which is currently called the Disney Society Orchestra, playing at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Their final date playing will be October 3rd. And after 32 years of playing together, they are being kicked to the curb and just completely hauled out. So they want to know what we're thinking about it. A lot of Chapek blame for it, saying this seems like a thing that he would caught cuss with. Jeez Louise, I need to go back into the hospital. Cut cost with, but at the same time, people were blaming Chapek for all these things when he was in the role that Josh D'Amaro's in now. So it's like, who, I don't know if anyone's necessarily to blame with it, but it's they want all our thoughts on it. So if anyone has thoughts, go ahead.
All right. The first of all, makes me very sad. It also feels very unnecessary. This is not something where you draw crowds, so you can't blame it on a COVID thing. You know, maybe you get people who hang out in the lobby, who listen to the music and things like that, but I don't think it's necessarily a big crowd. Why am I being looked at like that?
Because you're talking.
Oh, all right. I thought, oh my God, am I saying something wrong? It feels like cost-cutting measure. Stop it. A cost-cutting measure that's a bridge too far. You know, it's like, how much are you saving by that? You know, are these guys making six figures a year each? You know, I don't know. So that's kind of where I stand with it. It seems unnecessary.
I think the hard part too is that I read that they've been doing like they've been working 7 days a week, doing like 9 shows a day since the reopening. So it kind of sucks that they're getting thrown to the curb now after them being like, hey, can you guys work way more than you normally do, you know, really aggressively, and then be rewarded with layoffs that I'm sure there isn't like a severance package to go with it. I highly doubt that's what happens. But I was shocked to discover I had no idea this was even. Excuse my ignorance, but I didn't know that they were even a group that had been together for 32 years. I thought these were just random people that were musicians at Disney that just came and went. I didn't know it was the same people for that long. So that I'm just shocked that they've had this job consistently for 32 years. Like there's, you know, there's not a ton in Disney World that's been going on for 32 years, you know, like, so it's just kind of that kind of took me by surprise. But it's at some point, how do you, I wish they would have been given, I wish there would have been something like better, like more options given to them, or a way for them to retire or go out with a bang instead of just being kind of unceremoniously dismissed is what it seems is happening.
Yeah, two things. What they're doing as the Disney Society Orchestra right now in Disney's Hollywood Studios is fantastic. If you're going to be in the park in the next couple of days before October 3rd, please go and sit and be delighted by what these musicians are doing. They're so talented and they bring so much joy to what they do. And anytime you can hear the theme of the Muppets show, it's a good performance. So they, I was listening, you can hear them even as you're sitting, I was sitting eating snacks yesterday in Hollywood Studios.
Surprise.
Uh-huh. I know.
I'm surprised you've done it before.
But you can hear them as you're sitting right there outside of Rosie's All-American. And it is just delightful. So please go see them. Number two, as the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, they are a guest favorite. And that is something that guests to that resort or guests to Walt Disney World taking a monorail, a tour around the monorail, really enjoy getting to listen to. And it really, I think, is a differentiator for the Grand Floridian, the fact that they have their own house band and and they play and they've done so for so long. That just kind of elevates everything. So it's sad. It is really, really sad. And on behalf of Disney World guests who have loved listening to them, thank you.
They were not something I made any point to go see. And I'm sorry that they're getting laid off, but they join thousands of their castmates who have been furloughed, which is really a nice way of saying laid off. There's no other place on in any of the Disney hotels I've ever been to that has that level of live music every day. I mean, you go to Alani and there's live music occasionally. But think of another hotel in Disney World, Disneyland, or Disneyland Paris that has a house band. So I understand that it set the Grand Floridian apart, but I'm going to guess that the majority of people who are not Disney fans enough to be in our chat room don't even know that it's live music. And it's sad to say that they could be replaced with an iPod. You know, you can pump that same sort of music in. It's not the same as live music. I'm not saying that. I think this is one of those details that the vast general public won't notice is missing.
But isn't
that it was expensive?
But isn't that what makes Disney great? And the little touches that they don't have
to
do?
That's what we think makes Disney great.
Yeah.
That's what the fans think makes Disney great. I don't think...
But I think it adds a layered experience. Every little thing that Disney does that you might not notice right away.
Don't you think they do it in all the hotels?
Because then it wouldn't be special to that hotel, or other hotels have their own
it's possible.
Special thing. Craig, what about you?
I honestly don't. I'm very similar to Kevin in that I always enjoyed when I would walk into Grand Floridian and I heard them play, but I've made it very abundantly clear that the Grand Floridian is not one of my favorite hotels on property. And so I don't have the passion that a lot of people do have for it. I think a lot of people have memories tied to whether they were going, just stopping through or having a meal there, or maybe seeing the gingerbread house in Christmas time and hearing the orchestra play. Whatever it was that opened their ears up to the orchestra, I feel like they have a special connection because of it. It's not one that I ever made, but I feel bad for the people that look forward to it every single trip, and it's another chip away at what they loved about Walt Disney World, because, you know, people are looking for hope right now. They're looking for just a bright spot, and when it feels like with Disney, a place that's magical, and they're starting to see one thing go after another after another after another, it starts to get hard. But at the same time, I have confidence that Disney's going to find ways to be able to spruce things back up with extra magic that will become a favorite then for people in the future. So I feel like when they've taken away a lot of staples, they've acted like they were going to be able to replace it, but then they haven't been able to do so. But I feel like, you know, eventually they're going to figure things out, hopefully.
This reminds me, there was a band in Canada. I can't remember. I apologize.
Off kilter.
Yeah. This reminds me of when they were no longer there. It's something that people love, but it changes. And I didn't know they were together for 32 years. I didn't know anything about them. I'm with Craig. It's not something that is one of the memories that is treasured. So I'm sorry that they're gone.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you for that downer, Craig. We appreciate it. We're going to move on to...
Here's the chat.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, dude. We're going to... Yeah, thanks, chat. We're going to move on to our discussion topic. All right, so let me set the stage for what we're going to talk about. So our governor here in Florida has announced that we're entering phase 3 of the COVID-19 response, and that means that a lot of the current restrictions have been lifted. I'm going to read the news article, and I want to focus on what we think this means for Disney, what Disney's response will be. But I also wanted to talk to you guys who have been in the park fairly recently, because we've heard some reports that things are not the way we've reported them.
All my information is secondhand.
Yeah, we have secondhand information that perhaps the crowds are more and things like that. So I want to take it in that context, but I also want people to understand something here too. We are all affiliated with Dreams Unlimited Travel. We earn our money. We keep the lights on. We pay our bills. We pay our employees through people traveling. So we want to be mindful of the fact that, you know, if people don't travel, it hurts us. But we also have the standpoint of we want people to be safe and people's health comes first. So we've straddled a line here, but I want everybody on this in this discussion to feel free to share your opinions however you feel about them.
It's like one of those old after school specials, the more you know.
Exactly. So it's a little bit of let's educate everybody and we'll talk about it from there. But again, I want people to understand this is the context for which we bring you this information. Of all the information we bring you is that we recognize that we earn our money from the commissions we earn from you traveling and booking through us, but also we do our best to be honest with you and give our honest opinions of what we feel people should and shouldn't do. So let me read the news article for you, and then we'll move on from there. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued an executive order on September 25th, removing all remaining statewide restrictions on businesses that were put in place due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order took place effective immediately and prohibits local jurisdictions from closing or fining businesses due to pandemic-related local policies. During his press conference, DeSantis shared, we are today moving into what are initially called phase 3, and what that all means for restaurants is that there will be no limitations from the state of Florida. We're also saying in the state of Florida, everybody has a right to work, and local governments can do reasonable regulations, but they can't just say no. Local governments will still be able to restrict restaurants to as low as 50% capacity, and there will be no statewide policy. Local governments must have an economic or health justification for tighter restrictions. And in conjunction with this, there was an update on September 27th. Walt Disney World sent an email to Fox 35 News, a local news station here. And Walt Disney World responded to Governor Sanchez's executive order in a brief email to Fox 35. We received the governor's executive order, and we are evaluating it to determine what it may mean for our business. We are not making any immediate changes. As a reminder, face coverings are still required at Walt Disney World. So I give Disney a great deal of credit for, one, not immediately going, well, great, look, we can have everything open and let's open everything up. I also give them a great deal of credit for the saying that face coverings are still required. As far as I know, we still have a mask mandate in Orange and Osceola counties, which are the two counties that Walt Disney World straddles. So, you know, all the things in place make me happy that these are things that are keeping people safe and that Disney isn't exactly jumping into making these changes just for the sake of profit. Now, we have received some secondhand information from folks who visited this past week who said that the parks were incredibly crowded, like much more than what they're seeing in vlogs and videos on the internet. And that one of the people said she approached a cast member, and the cast member told her, we don't know, we never received any warning, but Disney went to 50% capacity. Again, secondhand information, just sharing what somebody told me and their experience. So I'm concerned that perhaps there is this sort of testing and tweaking of what's going on, and Disney's allowing more and more people into the parks. So you guys, you want to say something?
I do want to add to that. We've also been told that without fast passes and with no reservations available for dining, that this is creating much longer wait times. Somebody posted the wait times this morning, and some things were at 90 minutes. So when we talked earlier about things, you know, walking on, apparently that's not the case anymore. Again, this is a snapshot that someone else sort of told us. So it's secondhand information. But I was told that lines at fast food locations were exceptionally long, that trying to find a seat in a restaurant was hard, that you had to go from restaurant to restaurant. There's no centralized location to ask if there's space available. So
I want to open it up to you guys who have been there. I'm going to go to Denny first. Okay. Denny, when was the last time you went to a theme park? What theme park? And tell us about your experience and if it matches any of this.
Okay. So yesterday, Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I went in the afternoon to early evening. And while it feels like there's more people in the park than, say, when reopening initially occurred in July, it wasn't insufferable at all. And to speak toward cast members, I actually, as I walked around and interacted with the cast members, from the parking team to the merchandise team, everyone, like I noted yesterday, and I didn't know I was going to talk about this today on the show, I noted that they were so kind and so enthusiastic. Like, just for example, in Legends of Hollywood yesterday, they received their first big Dooney and Bork shipment since reopening. They got a big, as did Magic Kingdom and others, they received a big shipment of the new Haunted Mansion ones that sold out on Shop Disney right away last week. So, and they just couldn't tell enough guests as they walked in the store about the new Doonies and how neat it was that they had received them. And so that was fun for me as a guest to interact with those cast members. And they just had, they were they were giddy about the fact that they got these. So yes, there was, as I was walking around the park, gathering up and eating all the snacks, I saw the line for, you know, Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway is still, it's snaking around that forecourt area, even into early evening. So, okay, it feels a bit more crowded than it did, but I didn't feel like it was insufferable.
Did you go back into Galaxy's Edge?
Not yesterday, I did not, but I have been back in there since reopening.
That was one of the places where this person said it was horrific. The crowds were horrific.
Well, and to speak toward the mobile ordering, since that person mentioned that long lines at the different, you know, counter service locations, you've got a mobile order. That's the way that you get this. I did have to wait just a hair longer than I've had to wait in other occurrences since being back. But I've been in each of the parks since reopening, and several of them several times. So it's different than it was, and it's different than it's been. It feels different than it's been since reopening, but it's also different than it used to be entirely. So there's a little bit of a different dance that you have to do during your day. But again, I did not at all feel like it was super bad.
Rhino, what about you? When was the last time? What was your experience? Where'd you go?
I'm pretty sure I was at Animal Kingdom on Friday. It was either Thursday or Friday. I'm pretty sure it was Friday. And I did Hollywood Studios last week as well. I think that was on Wednesday, if I remember correctly. I'd have to just double check. But my experience was that it is more crowded than it looks on the videos that I've been watching. But as I myself was doing a live stream and looking through my camera, I was thinking it's hard to really convey with what you're seeing with your own eyes through, like, because of the, you know, the way that cameras are, it's hard to show the density of a crowd. Sometimes it can sometimes look more dispersed than it is. And it is also dependent on what area you are in the park. And also I was thinking about this as well, is that we're using the word crowded incorrectly, because there was crowded before COVID, and that was crowded like you were at a concert, you know, and there's crowded post COVID. I think there's like a new version of crowded that we need to start getting in our head. So like, yes, the parks are definitely less full and not crowded in the way that they used to be, but they are crowded when it comes to the COVID stuff. For me, it's there's going to end up being too many people, and I feel bad for the cast members who are going to get strained, like, you know, pulled too many ways, because like when you come into Animal Kingdom, there was basically people on either side as I was walking down toward the Tree of Life, and they all are just standing in place. They're obeying the rules, they're standing in place, but they're all consuming Mickey bars or drinking drinks, so there's no like designated place to go for any of this. So I felt like that experience of seeing a lot more of people's faces is happening a lot more frequently in the parks, but that's the reality of it, right? And I think it is. I just don't think the 6-foot rule is very realistic in Walt Disney World. I think that there are many places that you can go, but it is, I say it over and over again, it's up to you to be vigilant about it, because otherwise you're going to be screaming every second that you're in the park at people that come within 6 feet of you, because most likely the other people just aren't even thinking of it. And you're at Disney World, you know, you're going into your Disney World brain and you're just doing what you do. Like, I was literally by myself on a bridge videoing one of those flotillas coming up, and somebody came right up and like leaned on me, and I looked over and the whole bridge is still empty. I don't know this person, and they weren't somebody who watched the show. So I took like a huge jump over, and they had to be like, "Oh yeah, sorry." And I was like, "You're gross. You're sweaty. I was drenched through my shirt in sweat. Why do you want to be next to me? I'm disgusting." And so like, I just feel like there's that brain that it's hard to wrap your mind around it unless you are actively doing it. And a lot of people, they're on vacation. They're trying to get out of the house. They're trying to find their happiness, you know? And so like that part of the mind isn't working in that way. And so it's like, I'm not necessarily really angry about it or anything like that, but it is frustrating when you are somebody who tries to vigilantly follow the rules at all times during the day. I mean, I have perfect attendance from high school. So you're talking to somebody who has a lot of issues with not following rules. So
I also heard, again, secondhand, that there was a lot of pushback when cast members would tell guests to put their mask on.
They do this thing. It's on and they leave and I see it kind of happening. And also I've seen a couple of instances now where people have stuff on the mask that's not appropriate that they have to get told about. And you're just kind of like, you scratch your head because you're like, it's Disney World and it's weird. But also I did go back into Galaxy's Edge and that in Hollywood Studios, I felt like what Denny said, the line for Mickey and Minnie's is definitely like really, really long. It was a 90-minute wait for Smuggler's Run, and it was the type of line like it was on like opening day. So it was like I could see it going all the way around and like through the extended queue, and it came out under Millennium Falcon and then back around. And I was like, oh, something. I don't know if something was going on inside of the attraction at that time, which is very possible. So it could have created, you know, you get in line thinking I'm going to rush through it. Something happens, you're kind of stuck. I wouldn't want people to come here and think this is a ghost town because it's not going to be a ghost town.
Yeah. I do want to go to Craig and get your opinion, but I want to say that I think that's part of the fear that this part of the concern that I have is that some people, I don't think it's us, I really don't, are portraying Walt Disney World as you're going to go and you're going to be the only person in the park and look at this great space and all of this stuff. And I worry that people then get here and that's not the truth of it. And we need to make sure that we are giving the truth of it. So I appreciate both of you what you're saying. Craig, what about...
I just want to jump in before you go to Craig. Okay. I also understand the earlier part of the day is more crowded than the later part of the day. That the crowds tend to be less the later you get.
All right, let's move on to Craig. Craig, tell me about last visit, park, and what your experience was.
Okay, I will kind of combine my last two together because I was at Magic Kingdom. I want to say that was Thursday or Wednesday. I don't remember which exact day it was. And then I went to Epcot on Friday night, but I was only at Epcot for about an hour. First off, the park capacity is 100% up. I've been going since day one that they've been reopened, and there is no...
Let me ask with you, Craig. Let me ask you that. I trust your opinion of this very highly because you are someone who has been there from beginning of the opening it up. So
thank you.
Go ahead. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate that. And it 100% is. It's still not awful, though. So I do know that the crowds have increased, but it's not to the point I think that it's like all havoc has broken loose. Yeah, it was a lot nicer when you would look at all the wait times and everything was 30 minutes or less. And now you look at everything and I will say pretty much the baseline, it's like 90 and less on weekends and weekdays, about 60 and less with some of the big ones like Runaway Railway jumping up. That being said, if you watch our live streams that we've been doing more and more, especially mine going on the attractions and such, it's very rare that a wait time is actually completely accurate to what the time is posted. It is almost unanimously always under. I think I've had one time where I was right at the actual posted wait, and it was because of cleaning, which I appreciate that they put the cleaning adjustment schedule in the wait times as well, too. But everything is pretty much down. Magic Kingdom, I still feel comfortable going there. I feel comfortable at Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom. I have a great time at those parks. Epcot, I even like that too, except I know on Friday when I went, that was the day that mobile order went down. So we're talking about a lot of congestion at restaurants and such. The day that mobile order went down, from my understanding, from a friend who works at Walt Disney World, they pulled a ton of the yellow shirts, the Incredicrew, and they helped move them around to a lot of the food locations to make sure they could handle the issues that were coming into place because of the mobile ordering being down. And so I know for that reason in particular, it made Epcot a nightmare because I walked into the park and until we were back by Canada, I didn't see a single person in the Incredicrew. And the first one I saw was on his work cell phone talking to a cast member that was working at a merchandise stand. And along that 15-minute walk it took me to get back to Canada, I want to say it was about one in every 30 people was either, you know, exposing their nose, exposing their mouth, not wearing a mask at all. I'm not even going to get into like distancing and such. I just look at the mask usage because all it takes is one person to see someone not wearing a mask, and then it just spirals out of control. And I'm not going to get into distancing, but then as we continued around Epcot, we didn't see another Incredicrew person until we got to Germany. And like, I think the straw that broke Kylie's back and the camel's back was when we were outside of American Adventure and a little kid lifted up their mask solely so they could cough. And when that happened, then she's like, nope, we're done. We're gone. And you know, it was because we were fighting crowds. We were there at 7-8 o'clock on a Friday night. It's at the peak time that everyone wants to be at Epcot. And it was busy in World Showcase. So and that was after the news of DeSantis making the decision on Florida as well, too. I don't think the people that were there at the parks necessarily saw that news and made their decision. But I went into the parks that night thinking about that. And I think Disney is getting to a point where they're going to get it to a crossroads where as it gets busier, people are going to start ignoring the rules more and more. And I get it that there are a lot of people who feel uncomfortable following the rules, but they still want to be there. And then there's people like us that we look like we're whining and complaining because we point out everyone who doesn't follow the rules. At the end of the day, they're rules. It's the same way as when you get into your car. There are some people who don't ever speed. And for that reason, they can be the glorious people who say, nope, I follow every rule of the road. And then there's other people who are like, no, we all speed. We all run a stop sign every now and then, so we can make mistakes. I think with Walt Disney World, it's becoming so prevalent that people are just walking around without masks, not following rules and such, that they probably need to make that choice of whether or not they want to continue with rules and restrictions or if they want to double down. And if they double down, they're going to need to hire more cast members to be a lot stricter about it. But I think we're going to see, you know, maybe it'll be January 1st. If there's no spike and things keep going this way, I think we're going to see them say, you know what we're doing isn't working. We have these rules playing over loudspeakers every 15 minutes, but it just falls on deaf ears. No one's standing off to the side eating their snacks and staying away from people and having their drinks because it's all the tables. When all the tables are full, they're just supposed to stand off to the side, but then they see 10 other people walking around without a mask on, just eating and drinking. So then they do it too. It's getting into points where at these parks, there's complete breakdowns and it's just going to get worse and worse. And, you know, Florida, I understand that a lot of people hate the decision that the governor made. I look at it from the perspective that right now, Orange County for the longest time has been the worst county since we took over that reign from Miami. Orange has been the worst. And there's all these other counties around Florida that aren't having issues. So the governor's trying to win them over by removing those restrictions and making it easier on their lives. And unfortunately for us in Orange and other areas, there's a lot of people still nervous. So it causes us to scratch our heads. But ultimately, I'm kind of in the realm now where I think if Disney's not going to take it more seriously, their rules and restrictions that they put into place, I think they need to just axe them and honestly make it if you're not comfortable coming here knowing that we don't have a mask mandate or a distancing mandate, then, you know, don't come. But we still have to follow what Orange County says and Osceola. So until those counties are willing to let up, we still have to at least follow those. But it's clear that guests are starting to care less and less about it.
Well, isn't that part of the order, though, that he can fine people now for continuing to keep those rules in place? So that's where it's like it took away the power of individual. It's hard because Florida is such a large state, right? And Orlando is such a sprawling city. Orange County is a big county, you know, then you got Miami, but then there's like other places, like Craig said, that, you know, there's a lot of undeveloped land in Florida still. And so there's a lot of small towns, rural areas.
That are not affected by it.
Right. And that, and I get that, but you're saying you're essentially making, we could potentially, we have been a Petri dish right here. And you're essentially saying like, it can get dirty again. Like it was a decision made for everyone when not everyone here fits the same kind of like bill. Right. So that's my concern, is that Disney will still want to keep doing it. And eventually they're going to be told, well, then you have to pay these fines that you're still doing it.
I get that. I get that businesses want to bring in more people. Here's the deal. The economy's suffering. Small businesses are suffering. People are laid off and they're suffering, and we want everything back together. What I see happening, my concern is that Disney is allowing more and more and more guests in, right? You are seeing less people say, I can't get a park reservation. Pretty much everyone's been able to get the park reservations they want. So Disney is playing with this sort of, how many people can we get in the park, which is fine for them.
But I don't think they're being transparent about it.
Yeah, but let me just finish by saying this. But the unknown here is how the people are going to act, right? The more people you have bring in, the more likely you are to have people who do not follow the rules and or do not do things the way Disney has said they should do it. So you increase the risk by bringing in more people if cast members are not ready for the influx of the more people. So this is where my concern lies. I think that Disney wants to do the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing. They're also trying to bring in more guests for more business so that they can bring back cast members and get the business back up and running. But you have to take that into consideration, that not everybody is going to do the right thing. One of the things we did hear was, just anecdotally, when people were talking to other guests, it seemed like the largest number of visitors to Walt Disney World were coming from South Florida. And that there were people who were saying, hey, I just wanted to get out of my house. I just wanted to come to Disney. I just wanted some time away. So, you know, it's not the fact that we're bringing in people who are staying in resorts like that, you know, like visiting from the Northeast. It's that we're getting more of the drive market, which is what they want. So it's a tough, tough thing to really regulate.
Have any of you eaten inside at Walt Disney World recently?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, I won't eat indoors anywhere.
I won't either, Rhino. Diddy, tell me about it. What was it like and where was it?
Okay. So, number one, if I'm eating inside in a location, it's only with my husband. So anything else is done outside with people like our family members, and that's it right now. So when we've chosen to go, we are going to the dining locations that are big and airy. There's lots of space inside. The team, the dining team at these locations is doing a great job. They just are. Everyone is very spaced out. You are escorted to your table. Your temperature is taken before you enter the establishment. If it's in a resort, of course, it's taken before you enter the park if the dining location is in the park, and we've eaten at both. And so everyone's had their temperature taken for, you know, you may think that's just, you know, that doesn't necessarily indicate everything, but at least it's being done. You're escorted by a cast member who is wearing a face mask and a face shield. And to your table, you are then, there's a little piece of paper that they place on your table that's got the QR code. And if you hold your camera app over that QR code, a little pop-up window will come up, which you can click on, and then you'll have the menu on your smartphone. You can choose everything from there. You are very, very distanced from other parties, which is really nice. It is weird, at least I found it, when you finally take off your mask to kind of go, wow, I'm inside of a location without my mask on right now. But they are doing the best job that I think they could do. If you are someone, I mean, there's an inherent risk anywhere, right? So if you are willing to take on that risk and go eat somewhere inside, they are doing the best job that they can to provide a safe atmosphere for it. You won't have some menus. So I think we've talked about this before, but some menus have been altered somewhat. So just keep in mind, if you've got your favorite restaurant, that when you get there, that favorite thing might not be on the menu currently. You can always ask about it. We've eaten at the Wave. We've eaten at Hollywood Brown Derby. We've eaten at the Grand Floridian Cafe. And I think there's been a couple other spots. But so far, so good.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that, Denny. I apologize, guys. We are running late. We've gone over our time here. This is a great conversation. I wish we had more time for it because I think it's important. But I appreciate everybody's input and everybody's perspective on it. And we hope those of you at home who are deciding whether or not to come to Walt Disney World take everything into consideration and do what's right for you and your family. But that'll do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged. Thank you again for participating. Thank you, everybody at home, for listening and watching. Bye.